What are some of your favourite scriptures? We all have some. I'm sure you do. I do. Most of my favourites were written by the Apostle John. I really love the writing, the style of writing the Apostle John. One of my favourites is Jesus' wonderful prayer in John chapter 17. You don't have to turn there. We're not going to go into that. I want to talk about two others of my favourites. And again, both of them are in John's Gospel account. So here's the first one. Please turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And here we read of Jesus having an exchange with some belligerent Jews. This was not unusual, as we will find out as we read on. John chapter 8, and all the way down in verse 51. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets too. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father who honours me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say, I do not know him, I should be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said to him, not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And here's the verse, brethren. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. That's who Jesus made himself out to be. I am. Please note those two little words, I am, because they are the inspiring subject of my sermon today, my split sermon today, and again for my next few sermons, because again this is a big subject. I get shivers when I read that, verse. And I get shivers when I read these ones too. John chapter 18, please. John chapter 18. John chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples. And by the way, brethren, we often read these this particular on Passover night and around Passover time. We read these verses. John chapter 18 verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them. Notice he went forward and said to them. That's kind of interesting. I love the way John puts these things together. That would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. It was interesting. Jesus moved forward, they drew back, fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. You can imagine them kind of cowering whether they were going to be knocked over again. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. Well, have a look in your Bibles there, brethren, verses 5 and 6 and 8. And you'll notice that in most Bibles anyway, the word he is in italics. And this means that the word he, in this case, was added in by the translators. What Jesus actually said was, I am. Three times, I am. And these two words might be tiny words, but as you can see, when spoken by the Son of God, they possess great, great power. I am. So, in this split sermon, and again in a few more sermons as well, because again, this is quite a big subject, I'd like to examine Jesus' use of this term, I am. I really do believe it's important, brethren. And specifically from the New Testament standpoint, and more specifically from the pen of the Apostle John, in his Gospel account, and later on in the book of Revelation, a couple of verses in there too. So I ask the question, why would I give this sermon series at this particular time? What is the potential benefit of it to you, brethren? Many of you are long-time Christians. Well, let me partially answer that question with another question. Have you ever been approached in the streets, in downtown streets, or perhaps in a shopping mall by some wild-eyed Pentecostal, perhaps, or evangelical, urgently demanding, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? The main benefit of our study of Jesus' use of the words I am, at the end of the series, brethren, both you and I will know the Lord, will know the Lord Jesus Christ, and will know him better than we do now. Not because of my words, but because of God's word. As a result, we'll know God the Father better too, because Jesus and his Father are one. And because he who's seen and known Jesus has also seen and known God the Father. You know that. I'll give you a couple of scriptures there. John chapter 10 verse 30. And John chapter, you don't have to turn there. John chapter 10 verse 30 and John chapter 14 verses 7 to 9. Just to back up what I just said. But then, as further, more additional positive results, we'll be better able to appreciate and worship both of them, both Jesus Christ and God the Father. And we'll also be able to emulate Jesus as the Apostle Paul emulated Jesus. So when Jesus used the phrase, I am, of course he was speaking, he was either speaking Aramaic or Greek. It comes down to us in Greek. And the most frequently used Greek words are ego, emi. I don't know how to pronounce that properly. E-G-O is one word, and E-I-M-I. And that appears 34 times in the New Testament. Ego, emi. Now, when he used that term, I am, just what and who did he say that he was? That's the whole subject of these sermons now. If you and me, if we as Christians, brethren, if we wish to truly know the Lord, we need to be familiar with the answer to this question. And this is what I'd like to do in today's split sermon and the next few. And they'll be in more of a Bible study format, if that's okay. I want to ask these questions and answer these questions. Who and what is Jesus Christ? Who and what was Jesus Christ during his short earthly sojourn as a human being on earth? Who and what was he before his earthly sojourn? And who and what is he right now? Well, Jesus does not keep us in the dark on these questions. He gives clear answers to all of these questions where else but in his holy, inspired, written word. And he tells us over and over again, every time he utters these words, I am. Of course, he very often follows I am up by telling us who and what he is. So let's get started with our first I am verse, in which our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. Please turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And here we're reading about Jesus' encounter, well known encounter with a Samaritan lady at Jacob's well. John chapter 4 and verses 25 and 26. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you am he. Okay, the word he was added in there. I that speak unto you am he. Now here again, Jesus is telling this woman that he was, and of course he still is, the Messiah. He was the Messiah, the Christ, who was prophesied to come to reveal all things. And this statement by this lady is actually very interesting, because the Samaritans only accepted the Pentateuch as inspired, the first five books of the Bible as inspired scripture. Their remnant, Samaritans, still exist in what we call the Holy Land. They still exist over there, a very small group of them, and they still only accept the first five books of the Bible. So these prophecies that this lady was familiar with were likely from the first five books of the Old Testament. And she had a lot of the truth right there in those first five books, and I find that interesting. Okay, second section here, Jesus said, I am come. I am come. And I want to concentrate for the rest of the sermon today on these words. And this section can actually be subdivided into five parts, five very closely linked parts. And here's what they are. Here's what he said when he said, I am come. I am come in my Father's name. Number one. Number two, I am come from God the Father. Slightly different wording there, with a different accent. Number three, I am come from above. Number four, I am come from heaven. Sounds the same, but again, a different wording. And number five, I am come into the world. Now let's take a look at all five of these in the same order. I'm only going to have time for four of them today, and we'll leave number five till next time. So let's start off with, I am come in my Father's name. Please turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And again, just one verse right here, actually. And here Jesus is talking on a feast day, and he's talking to a group of unbelieving Jews. Surprise, surprise. John chapter 5 and verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. So Jesus told them that he was come in the name of God the Father. And they claimed to know God the Father, but they really did not know him. They would not receive, it says, you receive me not. they would not receive or accept Jesus as the Son of God, the Son of God the Father. But Jesus, being the Son of God, had the gift of prophecy, and he was able to foresee, and he says here, that another man, a false Messiah, if you will, would come to them, not in God's name, but in his own name, he says, and they would accept him. The Jews would accept this false Messiah. And then it raises an interesting question. Did this false Messiah appear during their lifetimes? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. The Bible scholars, I did a bit of research on it. Some of the Bible scholars think that Jesus might have been referring here to two men by the name of Hillel and Shammai. H-I-L-L-E-L and Shammai, S-H-A-M-M-A-I. One of these men, they were popular Jewish teachers of that time, and maybe they had a preference for the preaching of these men. That's one possibility. The other one is other scholars believe or think that Jesus might have been referring to the well-known Simon Magus, Simon the Sorcerer, who we read about in Acts chapter 8. Don't have to turn there, we're not going to home in on this. Another possibility, and this is kind of a remote one, I don't believe that it is possible at all, but there are other scholars who think that Jesus might have been referring here to a man by the name of Simon Bar Kokhba, K-O-K-H-B-A, a man who led a major Jewish revolt against the Romans in 132 AD, and that date is what makes it very unlikely that Jesus was referring to him, because most of these Jews he was talking to would not be alive 100 years later after Jesus spoke. So I don't think that that's a real contender. And of course, yet others believe that this could be a prophecy for the end times, talking possibly about the beast or the false prophet, or even both of them. But whichever one or more of these, dual prophecy is certainly a fact. So it could refer to one of these who lived in Jesus's lifetime, and could be also referring to the beast or the false prophet of the end time. Whichever one it is, the main point of this verse is this, for us, for you and me, brethren. It's important that we receive Jesus Christ, that we receive the true I Am, that we receive the one who comes in the name of God the Father. And it's important that we receive no other, brethren, no false Messiah, no other human being. I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen to ministers who are preaching the truth. You certainly should, but that we receive no other as the Messiah. Okay, let's move on to the next subheading here, and that's, I am come from God the Father. I am come from God the Father. Please turn over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Now, is Jesus Christ now in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day? And guess what? Still has Jews arguing with him, arguing against him. John chapter 7 and verse 25. John chapter 7 and verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Jews who lived in Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, from where he is. But when Christ comes, no man knows whence he is. Verse 28, then cried Jesus in the temple, he raised his voice on this one, Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "You both know me, and you know from where I am." This is very important, brethren. "You both know me, and you know from where I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him. I am from him, and he has sent me." Just a note on the "I am not come to myself" in verse 28. We're going to be coming back in the later sermon to all of the "I am not" verses to find out what Jesus is not. Let me just read those last two verses again, verses 28 and 29. "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, 'You both know me, and you know from where I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not." You don't know the Father. "But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me." Who is the him that Jesus is talking about here? Who is he that sent me? Well, we know that it's God the Father. Jesus told the Jews again that he came from his heavenly Father. It's really interesting to note that Jesus said that these Jews who rejected him did know who he was, brethren, and they knew his origin, they knew where he came from. But again, they did not know God the Father. The very fact that they knew his origin and who he really was would work against any possibility for their confession, for their repentance and their forgiveness. I'm not condemning them, brethren, but I believe that if they knew who he was and where he came from, then they were in serious trouble. You don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 23, we read that when Jesus was on the stake, on the storos, he cried out to his Father, "Forgive them," the soldiers, "forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." And he gave them that leeway, that he asked his Father to forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. And one day these soldiers will probably repent. But these Jews did know what they were doing, and they refused to repent. And they also forfeited being forgiven. I'll refer you to, and again, don't have to turn there, Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. That in order to be forgiven, we need to repent. So again, what was Jesus' origin? Where had he come from? He came from him, from God the Father, the one who had sent him into the world. And this is confirmed in other scriptures. Let's just turn to one of them. Let's go over to quickly over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 3. Just one verse here that backs this up, and again there's more of them. We're going to be reading lots of them as we go along. John chapter 13 and verse 3. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." He was come from God. So we know that. We're going to back that up even more now with the next verse. Let's go back to chapter 8, still in the book of John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And verse 23. And again, just to remind you there's an "I am not" sentence in there. And we're going to study all of the "I am not" scriptures altogether. But for this part of it, again, John chapter 8 and verse 23. "And he said unto them, 'You are from beneath, I am from above.'" And this section here is "I am come from above." "I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. So again, this hammers the point home. What was Jesus' origin? Where had he come from? He wasn't not, brethren, let me reiterate this, and it's not in my notes, but Jesus Christ was not a created being. Jesus Christ was the eternal, and he was from the beginning with God. And he was God, and he is God. What was Jesus' origin? Where did he come from? Again, not from some place on earth, not just from Bethlehem or from Nazareth, not from any place in this world beneath, as the Jews were, but rather from above. Where above? From his Father's throne in heaven. Jesus said this to the Pharisees, bolstering his previous statements of who he was and that he'd come from God the Father and from heaven above. And this is reiterated yet again in the next subtopic that we're coming up to. The next one is it's a set of I am verses, and it gives a three-part message. And it's in John chapter 6. Please turn to John chapter 6. We're staying in John and we're still jumping all over the place. John chapter 6. And the subtopic here is, and again it's a three-part message, it's still part of I am come. And then what we're going to read here in John chapter 6 is what Jesus says. He says, I am come from heaven. He hammers that home again. He says, I am come as the living bread of life. And thirdly, he says, I am come to give life. And again, you know John chapter 6, and we go through it, so important, and we go through it in the Passover every year. John chapter 6, and let's start, and we're going to jump down a bunch of verses. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Jump down to verse 41, please, brethren, 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So again, yeah, we read these verses at the Passover every year. And God tells us that we are to hunger for this heavenly bread of life. We're to hunger for it. We're to eat it. We're to eat this heavenly bread of life. And Jesus wants us to have a lifelong feeding frenzy. In this way, he and his Father, God the Father, will dwell in us continually through their Holy Spirit and through their word. So again, what was the origin of this living, life-giving bread of life? Where had he come from? He came down from heaven. And why? Why did he come down? To give life, abundant life, eternal life to the world. Eventually, brethren, your neighbors out there, my neighbor who's mowing his lawn out there today, they're going to be called, and they are future brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. And Jesus came to give life, yeah, to you and me, but to them as well. And that's fantastic. Let's nip over to, before we finish, let's just go over to one more verse in chapter 10, John chapter 10, where Jesus repeats exactly what he just said. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life, eternal life is what Jesus promises us and eventually promises the world as well. And we're going to pull John 10:10. We're going to pull that one up again next time. Now, as I said before, I have one more of the five I am come subtopics, and that fifth one though is quite long. It's another three parter, so I better leave it till next time. I don't want to take you too much over time. So let's just review what we've learned today. What have we learned today? We've learned that Jesus Christ is the one and only Messiah. We've learned that he came in his Father's name, that he came from God the Father, that he came from above, and that he came from heaven. Now, it's true that maybe we already knew these things before today's split sermon, but for Jesus to repeat these things over and over again and to put so much accent on them means that they must be very important things for us, for Jesus' brothers and sisters to burn into our memories, brethren, to burn into our memories and to burn into our very beings, because one day we will be born again as brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ.